holes in it. You can see through it. It's striped. He was striped for our sins, Isaiah 53. He's our Passover lamb. We talked about that. His blood is put on the doorposts of our heart. And because of that, we are freed from our sins. The angel of death passes over us and we can live forever with God. Judaism is so rich in symbols. And that's what's so important about celebrating the Passover, about celebrating these holidays, because we remember and we teach our children. We remember these things when we go through it. If we don't go through it, like the children of Israel didn't celebrate for 40 years, we will forget. And what did they do? They forgot their God. And then when they got in the land, they forgot about their God. And then they cried out, and God saved them again with a judge. This is the cycle. And we go through the same cycle. We forget. And that's why it's so important to celebrate these things so we can remember. Remembrance, memorials, it's big into Judaism. But today, like I said, I want to put the capstone on this, and I want to talk about something extremely important, something that the larger body of Messiah is going to be focusing on tomorrow, and that is, of course, Yeshua rising from the dead, the resurrection. And I want to talk about this, and I want to bring it from a Jewish perspective so we can understand the resurrection is a Jewish concept. It's not a Christian concept. It's not a first century it started concept. This is a concept that has been in Judaism for years. And we're going to talk about how the resurrection is central to our faith. The resurrection is central to our life as believers. So, the meaning of Passover, the meaning is a lot. It has a lot of things, and I just want to quickly take us through it again. We have hope in Messiah because he rose. We have hope in Messiah, as we've talked about, because his blood is covering over our sins. The lamb, his blood on the doorpost, the angel of death passing over. These are all great things. These are all things that point us to Yeshua, our Messiah. The fact that the blood was on the doorpost, that means our sins are covered over. Our sins are forgiven. But that's not the end of the story. There has to be that one last piece. Yeshua has to rise from the dead. If he were to do it, you know, we said last night, Dayenu, right? If he had only taken us out of Egypt and hadn't given us the Torah, Dayenu. If he had only done this but not done this, Dayenu. You know, if he had only done the blood on the doorpost, Dayenu. But there's more scripturally, there's more spiritually that he had to do for him to be our Lord and our Savior and our Messiah. He had to rise from the dead. It is central to our faith. We have to talk about that. Before we get to that, though, we were warned by Yeshua way back 2,000 years ago. In the book of Matthew, chapter 23, he warned us about false messiahs that would come, that would claim to rise from the dead, that would claim to be resurrected, or that would claim that they were going to be resurrected when they died. And he said, be warned for that. Let's turn to the book of Mark, chapter 13, verses 22 and 23. Let's start there in the book of Mark. There we go. For this is Yeshua's words, our Messiah's words. He says, he warns us, for false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. But take heed. See, I have told you all things beforehand. At the time of Yeshua, there were many men that rose up and claimed to be the Messiah. We kind of think, oh, okay, that's great. He warned us, you know, well, we're fine. But you don't understand. I didn't understand fully. We don't understand. Going back in the last 2,000 years plus, there was many men that rose up that claimed to be the Messiah, that showed signs and wonders, that amassed great armies, that really had their stuff together, so it seemed. But they didn't rise from the dead. And that's the telltale sign that they weren't the Messiah. He is warning us here that men will rise up and claim to be the Messiah. At the time of Yeshua, this was probably the heightened time of false claims of Messiah. 2,000 years ago. This was the time that a lot of messianic fervor, as we call it, was happening. In the land of Judea, or Israel, Canaan, which is the land that we're commemorating through this Passover season, going from slavery in Egypt to freedom in Israel. In the land of Israel at the time, Yeshua's time, Rome was ruling over Israel. Rome was ruling over the entire land. In fact, Rome ruled the world, the known world. It was the major power. And there was a series of different kingdoms. You know, we had the holiday Purim a couple of months ago. And we talked about how Persia, modern-day Iran, was the kingdom of the world. Well, Persia fell. And then the Greeks rose up, Alexander the Great. And they were the force in the world. They were the empire that controlled the entire world, the entire known world. Well, Rome rose up after Greece. And it was an even more powerful, more extensive kingdom than the Greek Empire. Now, the Greek Empire, if you've ever studied Latin in school, I studied Latin in school 2 years. I know no Latin. Did you ever do that? Did you study? Maybe you studied something more exciting like Spanish or whatever. But I studied Latin. So I remember a lot of history, but none of the words. But anyway, the Greeks, they had such an interesting culture and everything. And that heavily influenced the Romans. The Romans kind of took from everything. They took a lot of the Greek culture. They used it. But then they also had a lot of power and they amassed this entire kingdom. And they ruled and reigned over the entire world, including over Judea. And in a way, the Jewish people that were living in the land of Israel, their own land, were not a sovereign nation in many ways. Yes, they could worship their God. Yes, they could worship at the temple. But they were very limited with their sovereignty because Rome was the leading power. They allowed them to live there. They allowed them to worship God. Make no mistake, they were in charge. And you saw it. You saw the Roman soldiers everywhere you went in Israel at the time. You saw the men with their, you know, what you consider like the modern day Uzis. You know, they're going with their whatever they had, you know, the swords and all the battalions. I can just see them throughout the land of Israel. You know, if you just open your eyes and look, you can see it's not a sovereign nation. It wasn't a sovereign nation at that time. And there was a lot of restrictions. And the people were looking for someone to rise up, that Jewish Messiah to rise up and wipe out the Romans so they could have sovereignty back in Rome. And so you saw a lot of messianic fervor and a lot of people rising up to be the Messiah, to conquer Israel again, to bring it back to the glory days, you know, the glory days of King David and King Solomon, restoring Israel to its former glory. This is one of the big reasons why many Jews did not accept Yeshua, because Yeshua came as the suffering servant of Isaiah 53. He didn't come saying, hey, I'm going to wipe out the Romans for you. I'm going to take care of them all. He didn't say that. He came as a humble, suffering servant, scripturally following Isaiah 53, not as the warrior king they wanted, and they were very disappointed with that. And each of these false messiahs rose up, and they promised to be this conquering king to them, to defeat Rome. And one by one, they were defeated and they died and they were not resurrected. They didn't come back to life. They were not the Messiah, the telltale sign. And hope was again dashed for the people of Israel. Now, I want to give you three examples, and there's many, many, many. If you do any type of Wikipedia search, you know, back then it used to be the encyclopedia. Now it's Wikipedia, right? Go to Wikipedia. It takes 2 seconds. You can read about a lot of false messiahs. I want to hit a couple of big ones. There was a false messiah that rose up. His name was Simon Bar Kokhba, and he came in the second century, 132, 135. That's the time period of the Common Era, we call it, or AD. This was when the Jewish revolts were going on from Rome. So it got to a point. Now remember, this is about 60 years after Yeshua, or sorry, it's about 100 years after Yeshua, where Rome was still in control, was very ferocious in its ways of controlling, and Simon Bar Kokhba rose up. He had the blessings of the rabbis, and he wanted to wipe out the Romans, restore Israel to its former glory. And what happened as a result of the Bar Kokhba Jewish revolts in Rome was Israel was put in even a worse position after. He was defeated. And as a result of the Bar Kokhba rebellion or uprising, many, many Jews were banned from Jerusalem. They could only come back once a year. This is, of course, after the temple was destroyed. And many scholars have labeled what happened there as a genocide, much like the Holocaust. So it did a lot of damage, this false Messiah, Bar Kokhba. There's another interesting false Messiah that rose up. 1666 Common Era, in Turkey, Constantinople, which is Istanbul. Sabbatai Zevi was his name. And he amassed a huge group of followers. He said, hey, let's rise up. We don't have Rome anymore. We got the Ottomans, though. We got all these people in the world. We got all the Muslims. And let's rise up and let's claim the world for the Messiah. You know, I'm the Messiah who's came the world for God. And he amassed a great force. And then what happened with him was, of course, he didn't rise from the dead. They caught him. The Muslims caught him. And they gave him a choice. And they said, you can either convert to Islam or you can die. So he converted to Islam. So this Messiah figure who said, I'm the Messiah, ended up converting to Islam. And 300 families converted to Islam with him, Jewish families. More harm than good. You see, when man gets in things and we do things rather than God doing things, it can get really worse than it was before. And the third that I want to bring up really quickly, and you probably know this person because it's relatively recently, it's about 20 years ago, Menachem Mendel Schneerson. He was the seventh Lubavitch rabbi, and he was in Brooklyn, New York. He never claimed to be the Messiah, but as he was dying at the age of, I think, 92, his followers started labeling him the Messiah. And at the end of his life, he didn't stop the fervor. And then he died. And what happened was he wasn't resurrected. And to this day, ultra-Orthodox Jewish people of the sect of the Chabad Lubavitch, which is one of the many sects of ultra-Orthodox, Orthodoxy, they believe he is the Messiah, that he will come again. And there's crazy theories. I'm not going to go into it. But he has not rose from the dead. He is not the Messiah. Just like all these false messiahs rose up, but they did not rise from the dead. And that's the key that we want to talk about. Yeshua was different. Even though he did not fulfill the expectations of man, he fulfilled the expectations of God. And this is what we want to key in on today. The concept of the Messiah was sort of progressive in Judaism. You know, God let them know a little bit at first, and then as they went along, he opened up more to them. And the concept of the Messiah was actually in the Torah. It was in the Old Testament, but you had to kind of look for it. And as we go along, we can see what God had. He had a plan that went on and on. And let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 18. This is the place in the Torah where we read about this prophet who pretty much every Jewish commentator believes this refers to the Messiah. Deuteronomy 18:15 through 16. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him shall you hear according to all you desire of the Lord your God in Horeb on the day of the great assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire anymore, lest I die. God came to them. They couldn't handle it. He came with smoke and he came with fire and they were frightened. And they said, whoa, we can't, you know, give us a go-between. And so he said, I'm going to raise you up a prophet like me. That's very key. And as the history of Israel unfolded, Israel's idea of what the Messiah should be evolved because they understood more what God was saying. But unfortunately, we as Jewish people did not look to what God said. We looked to our own circumstances. We looked to the problems that we had with the Greeks. We looked to the problems that we had, the persecution that we had under the Romans. And we forgot scriptures like Isaiah 53, which is clearly about the Messiah, even though traditional Judaism does not label it as the Messiah. They say it's Israel. But the point is, how can Israel save itself? It's not possible. How can Israel, men and women, children, save themselves from their sins? It's not possible. Only through God it's possible. So Yeshua was the Messiah because he did what God wanted, not what man said he was going to do. And now we get to this concept of resurrection. Today, most of modern Judaism does not believe in an afterlife. Did you know that? Mostly in traditional Judaism, and traditional Judaism encompasses the very liberal to the very conservative. The Orthodox, by and large, do believe in a Messiah and somewhat of an afterlife. But most Jews who fall in that first category, they don't believe in an afterlife, let alone the resurrection of the dead or the Messiah. Reformed Jews don't even believe in a Messiah figure. They believe in a messianic age where everybody is doing good things and good deeds. It's not scriptural, though. By the time of Yeshua, resurrection, though, was a significant part of rabbinical Judaism, of Judaism at the time, of Jewish thought and rabbinical Jewish thought. Along with the messianic fervor came a commonly held belief in the afterlife and the resurrection of the dead. The Old Testament actually talks of three instances of resurrection. I'm not going to put them on the screen, but I just want you to hear it. It's concerning the prophets Elijah and Elisha. And there's three instances in 1 Kings 17, 2 Kings 4, and 2 Kings 13 that talks about people actually being raised from the dead, resurrected from the dead. So it's a Jewish concept. It's a biblical concept. But the concept meant two things. You conquer death. Death could not hold you. But more importantly, the second thing is God raised you from the dead. You didn't raise yourself. God, through a prophet, God himself, through that conduit of a prophet, raised you from the dead. Only God has the power to raise people from the dead, and that's very important. So now we take these two concepts, the concept of the Messiah and the concept of the resurrection, and we can put it together. And one person throughout history put them all together, and that, of course, is Yeshua, the Messiah, who was resurrected, who was raised from the dead. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned by eating the forbidden fruit in the garden, they separated themselves from God. We were created for fellowship with God, to be together with God in harmony. We chose to be disobedient to God. We wanted to be like God, knowing good and evil. And we've separated ourselves from God, and that's how sin began. And we traded immortality for mortality so that we had to die. And so man at that time lived a little longer than we live now. But if you're lucky, you live what? 80, 90, maybe 100 years? I just heard of the oldest person in the world this week died, 117 years old, and I think it was in some Asian, it was in an Asian country. I think it might have been Japan. It's 117 years old. But that's it. We all die. You know, they say there's a couple of things in life that you could be sure of, basically birth, death, and taxes. So you could be sure you're going to die. Your body will die. And that's what happened when we sinned and we separate ourselves from God. Death started through sin. And this separation continues to this day. And as I said last week, God provided this elaborate way for us to come back to him through sacrificial systems, through offering things in the temple, through the blood sacrifice, and ultimately through Yeshua's sacrifice on the cross for us. And we also said God provided a substitution so we don't have to die. Because we sin, we're condemned to death. But Yeshua, his blood, saves us from that. And again, the key point is, though, if he did all that, but he didn't rise from the dead, then he's just like Bar Kokhba, he's just like Sabbatai Zevi, he's just like Schneerson, he's just like all the false messiahs that have promised us the world and didn't come through. But we have our hope today in Yeshua, because he rose from the dead. Let's go to some scripture here. Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11. These are the words of King David, who wrote many of these psalms. And he is saying here, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Those are very quoted scriptures. But the key there is, you will not leave my soul in Sheol. You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. He was speaking about the Messiah. The Messiah would not be left in the ground. He would not be left dead. Sheol is a Jewish concept that means basically death. So when you die, there's a place you go, Sheol. And he's saying, you're not going to leave me there. And you're not going to allow your Holy One, which is the Messiah, there as well, to see corruption. David talks about the path of life here, being resurrected, life from the dead, freed from our sins, freed from that separation from God, which results from sin to death. He has life. And Peter, the apostle, addresses this, Kepha, in Acts chapter 2. Let's go there. Acts chapter 2. He used that same scripture that we just read, and he also said this. This is back in Acts chapter 2, you know, when the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, descends, tongues of fire, and men from every tribe of Judaism, every area, heard their native tongue when they were in Jerusalem for one of the feasts, Shavuot. Men of Israel, hear these words. Yeshua of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Yeshua was and Yeshua is the Messiah because he rose from the dead. And today we can put our hope in that. Not in a false Messiah. A false Messiah is not only people that claim to be the Messiah, but this is key here. A false Messiah is anything we put our trust and our hope in besides the Holy One of Israel. A false Messiah is anything you put your faith and your hope in rather than the hope of the resurrected Messiah of Israel, Yeshua, who is the Messiah of all people. Do we put your hope in something else besides God? Do you put that priority something else before him? Do you put that priority in your work? Are you a workaholic? There's a tendency for us these days to be that, especially in this culture we live in. Do you put your addictions before God? Do you put your family before God? Now, family's important. I love my wife and kids, but God comes first. God is our hope, not our family. People, unfortunately, disappoint us, whether it be friends, family, situations, because we're sinful. We're still sinning, even though we can go back at any point and we can ask for forgiveness from God and be cleansed from those particular sins. But God will never disappoint. And when we put our hope in him, that's the key. That should be our complete hope. Yeshua's resurrection is a sign that he is divine, that he is God, and that he is both Lord and Messiah. See, if he didn't be raised from the dead, he wouldn't be God. He had to rise from the dead himself. So the concept of the Messiah and the concept of resurrection go hand in hand. Jewish people believe, modern-day Orthodox Jewish people believe that a man, like Schneerson, any particular man who can be who's a godly person, who's a religious Jew, can rise up and become the Messiah. The Messiah is divine. He has to be divine. He is God. He is from God and he is God. He is not just a man that reaches a point where he can become God. That is not scriptural and that is not good teaching. He is divine, Yeshua, and that's why he is the Messiah and he rose from the dead. Let's read a couple scriptures on this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14. And if Messiah is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. 1 Corinthians 15, 17. And if Messiah is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. So don't believe me when I say it. Believe the Apostle Paul, Rav Shaul, who wrote those words. He wrote like a third of the Bible, or a third of the New Testament. He knew what he was talking about. And he's saying, if the Messiah didn't rise from the dead, if Yeshua didn't rise, then all our hope is for nothing. And we're still in our sins. But thank goodness he died and was risen from the dead. And one more, Romans chapter 1. This is how Rav Shaul opens up the book of Romans, the first four verses of the book of Romans, which is one of my favorite books and probably one of most believers' favorite books. I preached on Romans chapter 8 a couple of months ago, and I just love the book of Romans. Here's how he opens the book. Paul, a bondservant of Yeshua the Messiah, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Yeshua HaMashiach our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. And here's the point. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. You see how central resurrection is? first thing he says in the book of Romans. You know, the book where he talks about how Israel isn't done with. You know, the part of the, you know, the book that he, where he talks about how we have faith through not good works, but through, or we have salvation through faith and not good works. I mean, this is like pivotal stuff as believers. That's how he opens the book. That's how central resurrection should be for our faith. So Yeshua was resurrected. And now I want to come back to the Jewish concept about the resurrection. There are two aspects of resurrection that we can talk about. There's physical resurrection, which is rising from the dead physically. You were dead. You were not breathing anymore. And God rose you from the dead. And there's spiritual resurrection. If Yeshua was not physically resurrected, it means we won't be physically resurrected. We have the promise, the hope of eternal life, because he rose from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:12-13. Now, if Messiah is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then the Messiah is not risen. So now we're getting to the concept of, because he rose from the dead, we also have the resurrection of people that have died. Or there's going to be a final resurrection of the dead when Yeshua returns. One of the commentaries that I was reading as I was preparing this says this: if faith in Messiah brings benefits only for the present life and not for deliverance from the ultimate wages of death, wages of sin, then believers are worse off because they're deluded than those who live without hope and without God in the world. What he's saying is, it's not just about this present world, it's about the world to come. Meaning, it's not just about physically being saved, it's about spiritual too. We physically die, but also our souls, our spirits have to go somewhere. And when we are born again, we are spiritually reborn. We are spiritually resurrected. And that matters eternally, not just in the 80, 90, maybe 117 years you're going to live. That is an eternal promise that we have spiritual resurrection through Yeshua. Spiritual resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:20-22. But now Messiah is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Messiah all shall be made alive. He is the first fruits, is what it says there. To understand what the first fruits are, we have to understand Jewish thought and the Jewish concept of the first fruits. When you have, and of course the Bible is in a time period of an agricultural society, you have farmers principally. And when you have a harvest after you have planted everything, you have waited the time period, it's been watered, you have to harvest out all the things that you've been planting. And the first part of that harvest is given to the Lord to symbolize that the entire harvest is the Lord's. That's called the first fruits. Yeshua is the first fruits of the harvest. He was resurrected first, and he dedicates all who come after him as part of that harvest. So because he was resurrected as the first fruits of the harvest, we as the rest of the harvest will be resurrected both physically and spiritually and raised to eternal life. We were dead in our sins through Adam and Eve's sin in the garden up until now, but now we are freed from physical death and also spiritual death. Romans 5:12, a couple more scriptures here. Therefore, just as one man sinned, just as through one man's sin entered the world, that's Adam, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Now, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Messiah Yeshua, our Lord. This is the spiritual resurrection. We were dead, and now we are alive in Messiah. Because of what Yeshua did in our lives, he was raised from the dead as our first fruits. We can be spiritually raised from the dead in this current life, and we can be physically raised from the dead. Should we die before the Lord returns? When he returns again, this is a whole other message, but those that have died in Messiah, they will be raised to life. There will be a physical resurrection of the dead. And if we die before he returns, we will be resurrected physically from the dead if we have Yeshua, the hope of Yeshua. And I want to leave you with this tweet that I... Yes, I said tweet. I want to leave you with this tweet, because this is very profound. It's not scriptural, but it's very profound. And it's from a guy named Tim Keller, who is a very noted Christian speaker and author. And he really is a profound guy. I follow him on Twitter. And this is what he said. If Yeshua rose from the dead, then you have to accept all that he said. If he didn't rise from the dead, then why worry about any of what he said? The issue about of which everything hangs on is not whether you like his teaching, but on whether or not he rose from the dead. This is what Tim Keller is saying. The issue isn't whether you like what he said, whether you're comfortable with it. You know, look, we all struggle with some of the things that Yeshua said. We all struggle with some of the things in the scripture, you know, in your life, because we are sinful. We have to, we're struggling to understand. We're broken people. We're people that still have ways and work and thinking of things that are not of God. And so we're broken. And sometimes we struggle with these things. But whether or not we got it all down or we're just beginning the journey, the point is we need to know that he rose from the dead. We have to have the hope that he died for our sins and then he rose from the dead. And that is our spiritual and ultimately our physical resurrection in the Lord. Let's bow our heads. We're going to close today. Lord, we thank you, God, that you are not like all the other people that have come that have promised the world to our people and that our hopes have been dashed, Lord. We know, Yeshua, that you are Lord and Savior because you died for our sins and you were resurrected from the dead. Lord, we thank you for that resurrection today. We have to remember this. We have to teach this and learn this and get this deep in our souls. It's not enough. You know, things, philosophies are made by men, and we can take the concepts from the Bible and we can go and splinter off in all these directions. We have thousands of denominations that focus on this and that focus on that. But the most pivotal thing, Lord, is that we believe in you, that you died for our sins, that your blood covers over our sins, and that, Lord, you rose from the dead. You and not a seraph. You and not a messenger, as we say in the Haggadah, in the Seder last night. It's only you, Lord God. And nobody else did it. No man could raise up. None of us could follow the Torah, your perfect ways. And so what did you do? Isaiah 49 says, you reached out with your holy arm, your own arm, and worked salvation for us. And that's Yeshua. That's how we know, Lord God, that Yeshua is divine. He's not just a man that rose up. And we know that you rose from the dead. You're the first fruits. And we're going to follow right after you, our rabbi and our Lord and our teacher. Rabbi means teacher. And Lord, I just thank you so much for that hope that we have today. Help us get this into our souls and down deep in our hearts, Lord. And if anybody is here that doesn't know you personally, Lord, touch them right now. Convict them right now, Lord God. Show them right now that you are all that you say you are and that you rose from the dead and you can resurrect the blackest of hearts. You can resurrect the most hurting and broken of people because you conquered death. You conquered death, Lord God, and we thank you for that. And Lord, we come to you today as a congregation in our new building, Lord, dedicating it to you, dedicating this congregation to you. All that we do, may it be a sweet sound to you, Lord God. May we give you glory, and may we show the light of Yeshua, the ray of light, Karen Orr, to this community. May we show the resurrection of Yeshua in each of our hearts. Thank you, Lord God. We lift you up today. We thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. You are so great, Lord. We sang it today, how great is our God. And we just give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. And we give you all the honor today, Lord, on this special Shabbat, when you passed over, death passed over us, and we have that new life in you. We praise you and thank you. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.